Welcome to the Home Service Small Business Spotlight. I am your host, Arthur Yon, co-founder and CEO of Nest Protection Plan. We partner with restorers, contractors, real estate professionals, and other entrepreneurs to increase their revenue, grow their business valuation, and help them build a platform of services for homeowners across the country. We think every American family and property owner deserves peace of mind for their health, indoor living, and longevity, all for less than a dollar a day. Also, I love forming relationships. Add me on Facebook or LinkedIn today and let's connect. Oh, and stick around to the end of this episode. We'll reveal how you or someone you know can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Here we go. Hey, what is going on? Hope everybody is doing well. Welcome to episode number 60 of the Home Service Small Business Spotlight. I'm your host, Arthur Yon, and we are very appreciative of you joining us as usual. We always love our audience. We love hearing feedback on the show, and we're excited. We've got another fantastic guest joining us today, and of course, we don't waste any time. So I'm going to jump right in. I'm going to introduce him. He is the owner. He is the CEO of The Immortal Man. He's based out of Sacramento, out in California. He is Mr. Eric Rogers. Eric, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, brother. Thanks for having me here.
Good, man. Well, thanks for being on. We've already had a fun little chat before the show started, and now we're going to have a lot of good, insightful things to share with the listeners. Eric, can you start off? And you have a very interesting and inspiring, inspirational background. So can you share with us your background and how you got to where you are right now?
Yeah, man. So flashback 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, you know, I was in a very bad place in my life. I think that a lot of men can probably relate to this, but I was a servant to myself, and eventually that drove me to a place of pretty much darkness. But I mean, starting from the very beginning of where everything began, like I grew up in, from an outside look in, you would think that my household was great, you know, well put together. And, you know, for the most part, it was. I can definitely say, like, my parents did their best. They didn't understand what was going on with me as a child. But at the age of 7 years old, I was sexually molested in a church. And I, you know, that changed who I was. It changed every fiber of my being. You can imagine what that does to a child. But my dad, being a disciplinarian, he was a Folsom prison guard for 30 years. He, you know, didn't take kindly to my attempts to run away and not listen to authority. Right. Because what happened when I was molested is I started to see authority as bad. Right. You start to be abused as a child. It changes the way you listen. It changes the way you behave. And my dad didn't like it. So me not saying anything or ever confessing of what happened to me, I was, you know, as a child, thought I was being treated pretty badly for what happened, even though they didn't understand what happened. Right. And so you take this one trauma and you go down a line of disciplining disobedient behavior, and it turns into a darker, lonelier, and basically just a miserable life, right? At the age of 8 years old, I started using drugs. I got into my mom's stash of painkillers, and it was probably the first time in a year that I ever felt normal. The pain went away, and that's where my addiction came from. It wasn't me running towards pleasure. It was me running away from pain, which I believe is the most dangerous kind of addiction. And that just led me into the next 16 years of my life using and abusing drugs and alcohol. And you can just imagine where that can take anybody, right? I don't know if you've ever struggled with it, Arthur, or you know somebody that has, but there's definitely a darkness and a demon attached to addiction. And there's a victimhood mindset that goes with it, right? And so carrying through my life into high school, I'm getting into fights, I'm using drugs, I'm selling, I'm abusing, you know, relationships. I am a full-time liar, right? Most addicts are. And I couldn't keep a friendship, I couldn't keep a girlfriend, I couldn't keep a relationship. And then at the age of 17 years old, you know, my father, being a cop, caught me with cocaine in my backpack, and he told me I got 24 hours to get out of the house. So I'm homeless at 17 years old. And me at that moment in my life, you know, when I was looking, I was like, man, I wish they would just offer me help. instead of just kicking me to the curb. It seemed like that was the trend that was happening, is like, Eric's got problems, he doesn't belong here. That was where my head was at then. But as I look at it now and where I'm at in life, is I can thank my father for the things he did, because he didn't tolerate it. And it pushed me to a place of absolute desperation to change my life. Now, it didn't happen immediately. Actually, what happened is the first night I was out on the streets, I was sleeping over at a friend's house, and I'm telling him, I'm like, bro, I gotta quit doing drugs. Like, look at what it's doing in my life. I've lost everything. I'm living out of a car. I don't have a good job. Nobody wants to talk to me. I've lost everything. And he pulls out a little baggie, white powder, and he's like, you want a bump? And of course, me being an addict, of course. So I take a bump, burnt really bad, didn't really understand why. And I found out like 20 minutes later it was methamphetamine. And next thing I know, I'm mad at this guy. I walk away, I drive away. I come over that night and I start smoking it. The devil pulled me in and he held me there for about a year and a half. I became an extreme user of methamphetamine. And to the point where, like, I'm not the kind of guy just to do a little bit of drugs, dude. Like, I'm the type of guy, if you give me a little bit of drugs, I'm gonna go find your supplier. I'm going to give him everything I got, and I'm gonna get as high as I possibly can. And so this drove me into a place where not only I was using extreme amounts of methamphetamine, but also had, sleep deprivation and drug-induced psychosis, right? Where I was hearing voices, I was seeing things, signs of schizophrenia, at a point where, those guys on the side of the road yelling at cars, kind of the crazy guys. I was one of those guys, right? 135 pounds, sucked up, sleeping every 2 weeks, maybe not eating, rarely drinking water, seeing things, hearing voices, just completely lost and broken. I had no chance. I couldn't even recollect what anything was except for the drug and the high itself, right? And so what happens is, when you're put in a position where you don't have a family, you have an addiction, when you it creates an identity issue. Most kids that go through abuse, adoption, abandonment in their life, they form an identity issue, right? And if you look in the world today, you will see exactly that's what the problem is in the world right now. It's not a drug issue, it's not a, a media issue, it's a identity problem, right? And for and here's the thing, is that if you're a little different, if you're a little weird, and someone and you're not accepted your whole childhood, somebody comes in and says, I accept you, you'll become that person, right? And so the type of people that accepted me in were Aryan Brotherhood, methamphetamine cooks, bad people, evil people, right? But these people had my back. These people had, they so-called loved me. They would die for me, blah, 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 when in reality, they were killing me. But that's all I knew. Those are the only people that brought me in. And so I accepted it. And through that experience, being around extremely evil people, I saw a lot of evil things, and I experienced a lot of evil things. And I was part of a lot of evil things. And, things that most people wouldn't even imagine doing or being a part of, I did it, and I was a part of it. So, got to a point where I ended up going to jail, and I was looking at 10 years. I, by the grace of God, won my trial. It was my first offense. Got a public defender, and I got out of it. But when I got out, I made a decision. I said, I got to walk away from this environment. And so I did. And again, that was the second time I'd lost everything, and I still wasn't done, bro. Right? Right. This is 19 years old. Here I am. I'm like, I got to get out. So I ended up moving up to Truckee, California, and in the nature. I was homeless for 4 months. I lived in a tent during the summertime, and I detoxed. I got off all the hard drugs, and then I met my ex-wife. And she was, again, boom, someone that loved me. I became attached, and then same sort of thing. But what I was never doing was healing from my past, right? And like, I just kept running to the next thing, right? And so she became my new addiction. And then we had a kid, we got married, had a kid. And then I slipped, her attention focused on my son. And so my attention went back to drugs, right? And to the point where I wake up one day, and My wife's got everything packed up and she says, I'm leaving. I'm moving out of state. Don't follow us. I never want to see you again. Sorry. You know what I mean? And so there's a third time I lost everything. And so
Whoa.
here I am, still never healed. So therefore, I'm still a victim, right? And I'm still thinking that everybody hates me. Everything I touch falls to crap. Everything I do, nothing works. No one loves me, blah, 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 right? And so it pushed me into a place where here I'm alone. I lost everything. I might as well get back into some hard drugs, start drinking a lot more. So I pretty much pushed myself to my fullest extent for 4 months. Almost lost my house and job and everything, but I didn't really care, you know? I didn't care. It was over for me. And about 4 months later into doing that, I was sitting on my bed. I was just bawling my eyes out, realized that, you know, this is my life. It's happened since 7 years old. It's been the same thing over and over again. No one cares. No one understands all these lies that I was telling myself. And I decided, you know, I'm going to kill myself. And so, I mean, I don't even have anybody to write a letter to, bro. I have no one to call. I don't have anybody to even come and find my dead body. And so it kind of just hit me. I was like, this is it. Like, no one's ever going to find me. No one's going to care. I'm just going to be a name. And I put a Glock 23 in my mouth and I put my finger on the trigger. And I just remember this feeling of just darkness. Like, this is it. I was crying. I was sobbing. I had snot coming out of my mouth, my nose. My finger was pressing a little heavier on the trigger. And then all of a sudden, God gave me this vision. And it wasn't a good one. Like, you know, the stories they'd say, man, then I had a vision. Like, this was not a good vision. This was a vision of my son calling another man dad.
Oh,
And
wow.
my wife, you know, being married to a man that could love her better than I ever could. I didn't really understand what love was, but I knew that it was possible. And so that was enough to pull that gun out of my mouth. And I remember feeling the presence of God in that room. And my whole life just collapsed, dude. Like it was like I met at the end of me is where God said, now I can begin. And something happened that night. Like I did kill my old self. You know, I didn't pull the trigger on myself, but something happened. I died to myself and Jesus started to work within me. And then I spent the next 6 months of my life getting sober. I got clean. I started going to the gym. I started waking up early, reading the Bible, all these habits I still practice today. And I called up my wife and I told her, I said, this is who I am. This is what I've been doing. And she took me back. And so I got reunited with them. We're not together, but I'm a good father to my son. He's in my life every single day. Get to take him to school. I get to feed him. I get to work for him. I get to play with him every single day. I have such a great relationship with God. I've taken all these trials and tribulations and created a way to help and serve others. I've started a Bible study where I can get people accountability and support and closer to God. And you know, my pain has turned into purpose. And it was really that moment in my life where I pulled the gun out of my mouth and I realized all of my actions brought me to this point. It was the first time in my life that I ever accepted that it was my fault. And I realized that if I change my actions, I can change my future. And I did. You know,
Wow.
I would have never expected to be here, bro, ever. I gave myself a year. I said, I'm going to give myself a year to get my life together. If it's worth living, I'll live. But if it's not, I'm going to put this gun back in my mouth and kill myself. And that
Yeah.
was just enough mercy from God to change me. And it has not been easy. I mean, you got to think my entire life was built in the shadows. Like, I didn't learn what most people learn. I didn't live the way most people lived. You know, I was born from abuse and darkness. And so I had to relearn everything. And it sucks because, like, the marriage didn't work out, but everything was meant for a reason. It was all to find this purpose I have today. And that's where the immortal man was born.
That's incredible. That and you've got such a different and unique story than most people have experienced themselves, or most people even know, someone close to them that has experienced a similar type of story. Although I also think a lot of people, if not most people listening, can relate in some little way to something you've dealt with. But, and I've always wondered this myself. I've always questioned, I've gone through some things. I've definitely not gone through what you've gone through. And why is it that some people are given so much more, of a heavy battle, of a darker battle? You're one of those people. And then to see what you've done with yourself and how you've transformed. And, some people listening are Christian. Some people may not be, but there's no denying that you've seen and you know what is giving you and what has helped you get through that time and transform to be, the person you are now. And it also just takes guts, man. So I appreciate you sharing all of that and what you're doing. So let's switch over to talk about the Immortal Man, because you mentioned that's your business. That's what you're doing now, is you're helping men get through, navigate their own problems. Talk some about, let's start off by asking you to talk some about what makes great leaders out of men that are, business owners. They're trying to be family leaders. What are some things that transforms them?
Yeah, so first I want to say this. Our mission is to develop Christian men into influential leaders by unlocking their God-given potential. And the reason why that I chose that mission is because if I had just had an influential leader in my life, my whole life would have been different. Right. And if you and the reason like an influential leader has the power to how to place and plant identity into young men. If you can plant an identity into a young man that is solid, strong, and co consistent, like God, like God's love, or hard work, or whatever you choose, then he won't sway when a weaker, more pleasurable identity comes by, right? And so we're changing the world by changing grown men, leaders, into influential leaders that can plant that for the next generation, right? That is the vision, right? Is to create like solid leaders who can create who can ha who have a presence to create identity in others. And I mean, that's what legacy is. It's what you leave behind in others, not for others, right? And so what we do is we number one is we help these men change and solidify their identity, right? And we help them understand their identity and why God created them. And we do that by looking at their past and seeing like what are the trials and tribulations that created these skills to become this, right? Help them find their mission statement, their vision statement, their core values, right? And then the next step of that is we help them, we teach them what it is to be a servant leader, right? And what we do is we use biblical principles to do that. The greatest leader that ever lived was Jesus Christ, right? Now, whether you believe in him being God or not, if you believe in him being a man, the one thing that he did very well was he displayed what it is to be masculine, right? True masculinity. People always have a debate over what is masculine, what's not. Okay, perfect masculinity would be Jesus on the cross, dying for everyone's sins, even though they put him there, right? It's the sacrificial love, this willingness to this no knowing that you can destroy something, but you choose to turn the other cheek, right? It's using your skills to communicate and persuade people into doing good and creating a legacy that still lives on today. So we look at biblical principles and how Jesus built his team. So we teach our clients how to build their teams. Most of our clients are entrepreneurs through the principles that Jesus used to build his disciples that still live on today, right? And then the third thing is legacy. So like mapping out like what do you want people to say about you, right? Help our clients build their eulogies, write their eulogies, help it implant it into their core so that every time they talk to somebody, when they walk into a room, when they shake a hand with somebody, that they do it with the intention that this is a legacy they're leaving behind. Right. So it's really shaped on that identity and changing who they are so that they can, through just living, they're going to influence other people on how to live, how to be, how to do, right? And then a big part of what we do is help our clients build their personal brands as well, right? Because we believe that if you're going to be an influential leader and nobody can see you, then you're not really being influential at all. So one of the things we have our clients do is they have to post every day on social media. We teach them how, we do all this other stuff. And that's just a big part of our mission as well.
Wow. And that sounds like an amazing foundation for putting those kinds of pieces together to make a person realize, or a man in particular. I mean, you work with men, you work with men that know that deep down they need to step it up, right? They need to be better leaders, better managers, business owners, and of course, husbands, fathers. So, and I've seen you post some things about this, and this is kind of a tricky one, maybe it's not for you, I don't know, but when you talk about being, you know, separating yourself from the toxic person, right, the wrong person, how many people out there do you think are genuinely with the wrong spouse or the wrong business partner, and it's somebody that they need to, they really legitimately need to get away from, or how many of those people do you also think might be in a situation where they need to turn it inward and they need to work on themselves, and that will somehow repair that bond? What do you think is the difference in those?
So one of the things that I did in my own life and we teach our clients is, like, if you don't know who you are, then you're not going to know who you're aligned with or who you're not aligned with, who you're supposed to be with and who you're not supposed to be with. And you definitely can't influence somebody to become who you are, which, if you believe that's right, unless you know who you are, right? So it starts with you, your self-awareness of what you believe is the correct way to live. And how we do that is, you know, what these guys can do on their own is understand the mission that they're here to serve. Like, what is my mission as a man, not as a business? Like, that's a whole different thing. As a man, what is your mission in life, right? What's going to get you up every day to keep moving forward, right? Why are you going to warrior through the hard times? Why are you going to get up when you get kicked down? The second thing is understanding your core values, right? And don't pick your business's core values or take some off of someone else's billboard. Sit down and literally just, you know, understand what the most important values are to you as a unique individual. What is the most important thing to me? And then pick a few that you need to work on too, right? And then the third thing is understanding why you were created. Why are you here? Like, what is your purpose, right? If you aren't a purpose-driven person and you're money-driven, well, you're going to kick people out of your life because they don't have money, or you're going to kick people out of your life because they're not doing enough for you, right? And so the whole goal is to understand who you are as a purpose-driven individual, right? As somebody that's dependable, number one, right? Because here's the thing. The world tells you to kick out anyone negative in your life. Well, if that were to be the case, you should kick yourself out of your own life too, because you're the biggest problem, right? Wherever you go, you're always going to be there. So fix you first, right? I believe cleaning your network is important, but who are you to kick people out of your life if you just started this process, or if you haven't fixed some of your stuff yet, right? Some people you may not want to be around if they're bad influencers, but you could be the exact reason the people around you change. Like, don't just kick everyone out of your life. Jesus came and hung out with the sinners, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the tax collectors, the people that everybody hated. And what did he do? Being a perfect man, he got down to their level and loved them up to his. He didn't say, shame on you, I'm not hanging out with you because you're sick or you have an addiction. You know what I mean? Like, it's our obligation as men to create an environment where those people can grow, right? By first becoming the man that is confident in himself, self-aware, and understands his identity, right? Then you can start to change outwardly in other people. So your identity is number one, right? The second thing is, after you've fixed yourself and gotten out of your own way, now you can start to look around and say, okay, who's not moving? Who's misaligned with my values? Who's not going to change and learn and grow with me? Who do I not want to take with me to this place where I'm going? Who is pulling me away from my core values? Then you can start to take some actions, like write a letter to them, have a talk, a one-on-one talk, and just say, hey, bro, we're not compatible. And what I want to say this is that conversation sucks and it's hard, but it's not only going to help you, it's going to help them. A lot of people just have, they've never been confronted about their behaviors to become triggered to change. And that's our obligation as men as well.
Yeah. It's almost like a combination of the three strike rule, but you better clean out your own closet first, right? You better be accountable in yourself before you can do that. And I think it's a fascinating way to look at that because yeah, there are going to be situations where it's just flat out, there's nothing you can do. There may be nothing that the person wants to do for themselves, but yeah, if we take care of our own selves first, then we can focus on others. It reminds me of a church service I was in, very admired pastor, and he was talking about, you may think it's selfish to pray for yourself, but I don't. You should pray for yourself because you have to pray for yourself and be blessed in order to help bless others, right? In order to help others, and so I think that's a great way to look at it, Eric. Can you share with us maybe an example or two of some men who you've seen, and you don't have to name names. I always tell everybody this. If you want to, you can, but you don't have to. But just an example or two of some men you've seen transform, just completely transform their lives after working through some of these processes.
Okay, let me see. So we have a client. He when he came to me, he was struggling really hard with pornography. He was on his way to possibly going to prison, not because of something that he did, but because he had a bad relationship with his ex. She was one of those exes that wanted to destroy his life. And the biggest reason why, and I caught this in our first meeting, he's like, I hate her. I have so much resentment for her. And I said, I wonder if that's the reason why she's hating you back because of how you react to her, because of how you feel. And so one of the things we did with him is help him change his identity and his outlook on this woman. And he ended up forgiving her pretty quickly. And the judge is favoring him now, right? So just that switch in his heart, it changed the way he saw her. He's co-parenting great with her now. They get along. They're coherent at least. Like they're not fighting. And the reason why is because as a man, we have so much more power and control and authority than we think we do, right? If you're in a situation with somebody where it's, head to head and, like a fight, if a man stops reacting and starts loving and forgiving instead, there's a 90% chance that problem will go away, right? That's one of the things we teach, taking ownership. And he did that. And he not only completed the program and, has a massive difference in his faith, his walk with God, his physical, his health, because we do fitness as well, his mentality and his emotional state. But he's actually becoming one of our leaders here at the Immortal Man. He's going to be helping me out lead some of these newer guys.
Wow.
He's like
That's
the first one I can think of right off the bat. We've watched guys come in and like, hey man, I think I'm done with my wife and I think we're going to get a divorce. To at the end, just like serving their wife, loving their wife, and their wife like starting to have sex with them again, like willingly and lovingly, like building a bond, like to the point where the man, the husband is at a place where like she's starting to submit to him finally in a healthy way, right? Like she respects him, and she when he gives an order, she listens. And before is like you give an order to a woman, she's like, hell no, I'm not listening to you. So we've seen shifts like that, guys losing 20, 30 pounds, just the amount of discipline that we help them with. And the way we do that, by the way, is our accountability is unlike any other program in the world. One of the things that we do here is we actually force our clients to do the work. And it may not sound that great, but trust me, it's like the dad that, disciplined you, you thank him later. All of our clients get an amazing result. And if they don't do the work, everybody has to suffer because we have this accountability system. It's like military style where the whole group has to do burpees when you skip steps.
Yeah.
So it's pretty
I do that
amazing,
with
bro.
my sons actually sometimes.
Okay. That's good. Yeah.
I can relate completely to that. I mean, it's I think it goes beyond your kids too, right? It goes to your employees. You kind of have to lay down a little bit of the hammer. You know, you got to lay a little bit of an aggressive discipline type of, you know, approach, because they'll thank you later. They'll see the benefit later. They'll see that you love them through that. I mean, we were talking the other, I was talking the other day with a mentor of mine about how, you know, yes, there is clearly there's abuse just because the person is abusive or just because the person is trying to inflict pain. And then there's also just discipline that's firm. There's a huge difference between the two, and there's a huge purpose between the two, right? And source. And so if you're soft on your children, on, you know, followers, on your employees or whatever, that's probably not going to help them at all in the long run, right? Yeah. There's no benefit.
Says it right in Proverbs, man. If you don't discipline your child, then he'll be stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, and look at our world. Like, look at society, my generation especially, bro. Like, you're probably a little older than me. I'm 30 years old, but my generation compared to your generation, how old are you, Arthur?
I'm 41. So, okay. Difference, but not too far apart. I mean, I can relate.
Yeah.
It kind of in that same generation.
My dad was an extreme disciplinarian, which I look at it now. I'm like, thank you, Dad. The one thing he taught me was discipline, bro. I can eat 7 meals a day, the same thing every day. I go to the gym every day, wake up at the same time every day, no problem. But other people can't. Number one is they were never disciplined correctly, so they have no discipline. And the second thing is they cannot stand authority, right? It's hard for them to even listen. Like, their ego just starts to explode when you tell them what to do. That's my generation. And it's a symptom of parents not parenting correctly.
Yep, I agree. And I'm thankful, you know, more people should be thankful for people like you, for people like Clifton Muckenfuss, who was on the show, you know, people that are speaking out, you know, anti-bullying, you know, accountability at home. And we need more of that. Hopefully people will listen. Hopefully people will be a little bit more involved parents. But, you know, there's a lot of divine intervention, I think, that we're praying for as well. And so, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, what are things that people can do? What are things that men specifically can do? Share with us your website as the Immortal Man, where people can find you. Also, please share what we talked about earlier, which is a link to your Bible study classes you've got, where you're doing it virtually on Tuesday nights. I think you said 8 Eastern. So can you tell us how people can find you at both of those ways?
Yeah, honestly, I'm just going to give you guys the Bible study, because here's the thing. If you go to the Bible study, you guys get, it's completely free. Just show up and get ready to learn. It's a bunch of the guys meeting every Tuesday night and learning about God, about how to become more masculine. You're getting the support and the accountability you need. I don't want to be here to sell you guys anything. I would love for you guys to come check this Bible study out and get to know us and become a part of this community. And I don't ask anything back, but maybe share it with a few of your brothers so that they show up too. It's go.theimmortalman.com/Bible study. You register, it'll send you all the info. Come and join us. We would love to see you there.
Awesome. Yeah. Hopefully people do. And this is, you know, it's a little bit different from what we've talked about on some of the shows, but this is very, very relevant to a lot of people that are listening, that are in the home service sector and that are business owners, leaders, fathers, husbands, everything. We have to work on ourselves, right? You know, men's, we got to step it up. And I think that is going to help relieve the source of a lot of things. You're looking outward. You're looking to blame, you know, something or someone, and right, there's such a better way to do it. And as Eric mentioned, it's go.theimmortalman.com/Bible study. Before we finish up, man, I like to usually do kind of something a little funny or fun, but you had another post recently. Super Bowl was a few weeks ago. And I think you said, you know, hey, who won the Super Bowl and like how many baskets or something? I'm guessing that's probably a joke, or do you really just not have any interest in sports? You have to tell us.
Both. First of all, like, I didn't grow up with a TV. Like, I grew up, we got a TV, like we started watching TV at 16 and I got kicked out at 17 and I was homeless. So like I didn't really have a TV till I was like 20 years old, right? So, but I did play sports. I loved sports. I'm a sport. I was a wrestler, a soccer player. I love sports, but I can't stand watching them. I can't stand watching other people for hours at a time go live a dream that and sit there and not do anything about my own. Like that's just the reality. I find it hard to pay attention. Like I'd rather go play my game or whatever. And so that post was, first of all, it was a clickbait just to make people laugh. I said,
Those are always good, though.
yeah, who played in the Super Bowl and how many baskets did they make? I believe. That's what I said. But
One.
second of all, it shows part of my values and who I am. Because I'm different. Like I'll break people's belief systems. Like whether you like it or not, if you love football, I'm the kind of guy that'll say, why not go chase your own dreams instead of watch a bunch of grown men in spandex chasing theirs? That's just who I am.
Well, and that's awesome. I mean, I figured that, but it is funny because I literally know guys that, chop firewood, get out there. I mean, like rugged dudes that really just don't give a damn, they don't care about sports much. So, but yeah, I see where you were going with that, and it's funny. And Eric, man, I really, really appreciate you being on. This has been a great interview, great show, and obviously a little different from what we normally talk about, but this is important. So thanks again, man. Thanks for being on and sharing with us your story.
Yeah, I hope it was valuable to listeners. If you guys found it valuable, number one, if you could show up to the Bible studies, show up to those. But if not, hit me up on like Instagram. And just tell me that you heard it and you liked it, or maybe you didn't like it. I would love to connect with people that hear my story. If it related to you at all, I'd love to hear yours as well. So that's the real Eric Rogers on all platforms.
Awesome, man. And thanks once again. He's Eric Rogers. He's the CEO, the owner of The Immortal Man. Also, the website, go.theimmortalman.com/Bible study. And it's been a great conversation. Eric, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, brother. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks. And this has been another episode of the Home Service Small Business Spotlight. Hope everybody tunes in for the next one, and we will see you later.
Arthur Yon here. Thank you so much for listening to the Home Service Small Business Spotlight. If you are a successful restorer, contractor, or home service provider who would like to be on this program, please visit jointhenestteam.com/go. If you got something out of this interview, would you also share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the social. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag HSSB Spotlight. I love seeing your posts, love seeing your guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and your reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to our website, jointhenestteam.com/go, or follow me on LinkedIn and Facebook. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.